All eyes on Opal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. Happy Memorial Day from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's turning into a contest of who will fire the fewest people at Opal. There are three bids on the table for the troubled GM European division. But Germany says bankruptcy is still an option. Opal employs half of its workforce there, 25,000 people. Italy's Fiat has wrapped up its offer for Opal by promising less jobless pain, while Canada's Magna International still appears to be the favorite. Meanwhile, with a deadline looming tomorrow, GM bondholders are under pressure to forgive $27 billion worth of loans. But fearing that they're becoming scapegoats, many are hoping for a better payout, as Marketplace's Bob Moon reports.
The bondholders are mostly big institutions, among them pension plans and mutual fund investors, but many are mom-and-pop retail investors like Mark Modica. He's a business manager for a Saturn dealership outside Philadelphia, and he personally bought tens of thousands of dollars in GM bonds. He questions why the government and union auto workers should get control of almost 90% of GM. Bondholders are being pushed to take a bigger loss, but accept just a 10% shareholder stake.
Under bankruptcy law, creditors are supposed to get equal treatment to labor and other creditors, but what's happened here with this administration is they're just subverting the rule of law.
Modica says the government is steamrolling retirees, widows, and other small investors and setting what he calls a dangerous precedent.
What'll happen is you're never going to be able to raise capital through bond offerings again. No one's going to want to touch these things, particularly with unionized companies, since the administration is showing such favoritism to the unions.
Modica says rather than take the government's deal, he'd prefer to seek better terms in bankruptcy court, and now expects to see that happen as early as this week. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Wall Street Friday, the S&P closed down 0.2%. The Dow and NASDAQ were basically flat. Slight gains for the markets last week. No trading today for Memorial Day. In Britain, it is a holiday, a bank holiday, so no FTSE trading today. Paris and Frankfurt shares are lower right now, and Asian markets closed higher today. Yeah, we know some businesses have done a good bit of cutting in this recession, cutting of fees. Law firms, ad agencies, even therapists are doing it. But there seems to be another side to all this discounting. Those who are doing the discounting say their clients are getting a wee bit out of line, Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Everyone's negotiating fees these days, but Mark Brownstein of marketing agency The Brownstein Group says negotiating is one thing, demanding is another. He recently heard from a lawyer friend.
He said that clients have been dictating fees to them. So if a lawyer has a certain billable hour, the client is saying, no, this is what we're going to pay for the service.
He says marketing firms have also experienced a sudden rash of what he calls bad behavior from clients. Emails have a cranky tone. Some clients don't pay invoices until they're chased. Some even want firms to break ethical boundaries. Brownstein says one client wanted his agency to fudge some numbers.
It seems that this recession, the longer it goes, is unveiling the dark side of perfectly civilized and likable professionals.
Brownstein says his company refused, of course. He understands companies are under enormous pressure to conserve cash, but he says being antagonistic or pushy can gnaw away at relationships that took a lot of time, effort, and money to build. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. And by Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
There's an anniversary coming up, but it's not all smiles on this one. In just a few weeks, on June 12th, we'll mark 2 years since the Bear Stearns mortgage-backed securities debacle began. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan remembers, and he joins us now. Alan, since this is such a dubious occasion, why not just forget about it and move on?
Because the meltdown is still going on, and there are things that we need to learn. And the best way to learn is to have some artificial event, which I've created, which is the meltdown anniversary, on which to step back and look at things.
And the clues, all these clues that were out there, people just didn't pick up on?
Well, there were clues to the pieces. Okay, you could see that house prices in the United States were crazy. You could see that the prices being paid in leveraged buyouts were crazy. You could see that all over the world, there was much more credit than logic would suggest there should be, and it was priced very cheap. What people didn't realize is that having the subprime mortgages start to collapse was like throwing a match in a forest where it hadn't rained for years, and suddenly you saw the whole forest in flames. That's the thing we missed, that the whole world financial system was going to go up in flames when the junk mortgages began to fail.
So we go from Bear Stearns to the collapse of Lehman Brothers. What are the consequences of that collapse in September of last year?
All right. One is we almost lost the world financial system because of things that had not been predicted when Lehman went down. And as a result of that, regulators are so spooked that closing, say, Citi, which I'm not saying should be closed, or some of these other giant institutions would be a Lehman II, that there's just no way they're going to do it. And that's why the world's regulators are being so nice now to the giant financial institutions, because no one wants to risk a second Lehman, which is another lesson, really, of the anniversary. And you step back and look at it, you can see that that's what's going on still.
So does this mean we've all learned a lesson and it'll never happen again?
Well, people say this will never happen again and life will be good and everyone goes and sings Kumbaya. That happens on television. It doesn't even happen on radio, at least not public radio. And it has never happened in public life.
And it hasn't happened here. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome, Steve.
Maybe you have your own financial memories you'd like to share, good or bad. Check us out at our website, marketplace.org. You can share your thoughts in the scratch pad. Our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, standing by at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. I hope you enjoy your Memorial Day holiday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.